what we're really talking about is provision versus practice. The provision of God, the Word of God is there. His living Word that enables us, changes us, moves us, teaches us. Practice is when we avail ourselves of that Word. We read it, we study it, we put it into our hearts and to our spirits. We know we're saved by grace, just like Penny was saying. We spoke a couple of weeks ago about Reformation and saved by grace through faith in Jesus. You're not going to add one inch of work to your being saved, are you?
No.
Not at all. But then it comes to when we become transformed. He saves us by His grace, washes us by His blood, and then begins to work with us. And He begins to transform us by His grace, life transformation. God's goal is to make us just like Jesus. How many want to be just like Jesus? We want to think like Him, walk like Him, talk like Him. We want to hear Him. We want to do what He says. And He changes our direction. You know, the word repentance, again, as we've taught, it means to be walking this way. Literally in the Greek, it means to walk this way. And repentance means I turn around and I go the other way. He transforms us. He changes our direction. Whatever I was doing that God doesn't like, I repent, turn away from it, and I go a different direction. He did that with our lives. He continues to do that with our lives. And it's His blessing in our life that has changed us, that has transformed us, given us a new mind. Say it with me. I am transformed. I'm transformed by the grace of God. Come on, say it again. I am transformed by the grace of God. So that means He's blessed us and we need to release the blessing. Come on, say it with me. I need to release the blessing. Release the blessing in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. How many know we have the mind of Christ? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. Several verses just to write down. We have the mind of Christ. Transformed mind. I want to talk to you for just a quick moment because I believe some of us go through this next thing I'm going to talk about. How many know there are a lot of voices out there talking? Advertisements, thousands of messages every single day, and we are bombarded. We've got social media. We've got smartphones. In fact, sometimes the phones are smarter than we are. We've got all sorts of things, television and radio, and that's the old fashioned. You've got Snapchat. You've got Facebook. You've got every kind of thing imaginable talking, and then self-talk kicks in. Come on. Self-talk kicks in. You know, you can talk yourself out of victory in the Lord. Come on, you can talk yourself out of victory. You can talk yourself into being sick. You can talk yourself into shame and condemnation. You can make yourself sick and weak in your faith by tuning in to the wrong self-talk. Someone say amen or oh no. Your images, what's the picture that you see leads to your beliefs? Let me ask you a question. Don't have to answer out loud, but I want you to get it. What was the very best event in your life? Come on, very best event. Something come to mind? Okay, when you met Jesus, that's good. What other? What's the best event of your life? Y'all have one? Come on, raise your hand when you have one. See, not everybody has one. Come on, keep them up. Isn't one coming to you? Anybody else have a best event in your life? Okay, put your hands down. What's the worst event in your life? Come on, put your hand up if you see it. Quicker. You know why? Because we are so much more quickly tuned in to the wrong image and the wrong belief that we develop from the wrong and horrible events of our life. Things we've done to blow it. The Bible tells us as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, in context, that verse means when you're sitting down with someone who says, oh, come on over and come have a meal with me, but he has an ulterior motive in his heart. He is going to take advantage of you. Be aware of it, because what the Bible is saying, be aware, it's what's going on in the heart that shows you really where that person's at. But the principle remains true. As you think in your heart, so are you. Church, you know we're at war with the devil? How many know the devil lost? Jesus defeated the devil. But in our practice, we need to send the devil fleeing in the name of Jesus. In our practice, we need to send the devil out of the room, out back to the pit of hell where he belongs. Someone say amen. Amen. The best event of our lives, giving our life to Jesus, being washed clean by his blood, having the word of God to tuck into our hearts and into our spirits, the fellowship of the saints, the best event of our life. I'm redeemed. I'm brand new. I'm not old. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And God says, thy word is what?
Truth.
Just like you said, brother. Thy word is what?
Truth.
You sure? Yeah. Let God be true then, and every man a liar. Because that's what the Bible says. Anything that wants to come along, whether it's self-talk or other voices, to make you disbelieve, doubt, and distrust the Bible, the word of God, is a lie from the pit of hell. You need to know the devil has nothing good in mind for you. The devil hates your walk with Jesus. The devil hates it if you get victory and if you help somebody else. The devil hates it when people get saved. The devil hates it when people get strong in the Lord. The devil hates it. But our God loves it. And when we praise him, the devil has to flee out of this room in Jesus' name. That's why there's peace and strength in the body of Christ. Peace and strength when you lift your voice and give strength and praise and thanks to him. It's interesting. In the Bible, it says he has ordained strength. And then another verse is the same pattern, but it says he has ordained praise. Praise and strength go together in the scripture. Thy word is truth. Let God be true. Every man a liar. And every demonic voice, listen to me now, because some of you are smiling at me, and I can smile at you, but I can also tell you that sometimes you and I listen to the wrong self-talk. And it's demonic, and it's error, and it's wrong, and those voices need to shut up in Jesus' name. I take authority over them now in the name of Jesus, because you have the mind of Christ. Bitterness, resentment. You walk down the road, you see somebody, and it springs right back in your spirit. Wrong voice, shut up in Jesus' name. Walking down the road, and the temptation, wrong temptation, says, come on, let's go this way. Shut up in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I'm free. What's your self-talk? Then transform it if it's wrong. Come on. Isn't it right? We're just in the introduction. Listen, in the garden, the serpent said to Adam and Eve, did God really say that? Why? Because he wanted to deceive them and steal their life. He's a liar, a thief, a stealer, and a murderer from the beginning. He has nothing good in mind for you. If you listen to his voice, every demonic voice and self-talk that wants you to go in the wrong direction is wrong. Wants you to doubt God's word, wants you to be depressed, wants you to be deceived, wants you to have suspicious. You know, if you can give in to suspicion enough and doubt enough and fear and envy and greed enough, it leads to divorce, stress, war, murder, killing. What's the end result of that thought that you've just allowed into your heart from your self-talk? What's the end result? Philippians 4:8 tells us, hey, if there's anything good or anything true, come on, boom it out with me. Think on these things. We all go there, don't we? Come on, don't be so holy this morning. We all go there, don't we?
Yes.
But you've got the mind of Christ. So let's think His thoughts. Watch. Number one, see it. Number one, you got to see it. You got to see it. Did you know? Did you know? Moses stuttered. David's armor didn't fit. John Mark deserted and left Paul. Timothy had ulcers, had stomach problems. Hosea's wife was a prostitute, did you know? Amos's only training was he worked out and pruned the fig trees. And he was a prophet. Did you know Jacob was a liar and David had an affair? Did you all know that? Come on, you're awfully quiet this morning. Did you know Solomon was too rich for his own good? Jesus was too poor, but Solomon was too rich, and Abraham was too old, and you have David being too young, and Peter was afraid of death, and Lazarus was dead. And John was self-righteous, and Naomi, well, she was a widow. And Paul was a persecutor of the church, and Moses was a murderer, and Jonah ran away, didn't want to help those people at all that God wanted to send him to. Miriam was a gossip. A backbiter. Gideon and Thomas, well, they both doubted. Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. And Elijah, well, he was just burnt out. John the Baptist, he was a loudmouth. He had a terrible diet, you know. What his breath was like. Locusts. Martha was a worrywart. Noah got drunk. Moses had a short fuse. So did Peter and Paul and Ringo. No, Peter and Paul and John and the other sons of thunder had a short fuse. But God worked with them to transform them. Come on, church. God transformed them and worked through them. And He worked in them and He worked through them. And He changed the world with them. God spoke to each of them and used each of them for His purpose. Even when they couldn't believe or didn't want to believe. Moses struggled. I can't, Lord. Here I am. Send my brother. That's the way we respond to the call to the mission field, isn't it? Here I am. Send someone else. God says, Moses, you can do this. Send my brother, please. I don't want to. I can't talk. Noah says, I just won't. They're my enemies, and they struggled with their failures and shame as much as you and I do. But God spoke His creative word of forgiveness and mercy, His love and His kindness. He said, come on, I cleaned you up. I got you for a purpose. I got something for you. And Gideon, you know, you got to love Gideon. God says, okay, go do this. And he goes, oh, well, okay, if you'll do this, I may consider it. God says, okay, I'll do that. And Gideon says, okay, the call of God. Okay, I might do it if you'll do this. God says, okay, does that. Gideon says, I see that you've done that. I see that you've done that. I just want one more thing that for you to. And then he ran out of options. He said, okay, I better obey now. See Him as, see yourself as God sees you. How does God see you today? Free and clean, washed, new. Bitterness is gone. Gossip and backbiting, that belongs to the devil. It's gone. The shame is gone. My anger is gone. I'm new in the Lord. Come on, say it. I'm new in the Lord. No one in this room is too old to do something for Jesus. No one. No one in this room is too hardened that God can't get through and love you and work with you and massage your heart and spirit. No one in this room has done so much that God doesn't want anything to do with you. He loves each and every one of us. He loves us. He's redeemed us, and He's got something for us to do. So He says, agree with God. Agree with Him. See it in your heart and mind. The power of what you see and think and believe transforms your life and mine and leads us to what you say. And what you say is life transforming. What you say is life transforming. Proverbs 29:18, without a vision, the people perish. And in the Hebrew, that literally means dwell carelessly. in the New King James. It says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. What it means is they live casually. There's no purpose in their heart. If I don't believe the Lord, if I don't let the vision that He's dropped into my spirit, if I don't let the Word of God change me, then I don't have the vision that keeps me going, that keeps my heart burning. My heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, the psalmist says. No matter what happens today, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter what happens in America, no matter what happens in Port Townsend, no matter what happens in King County, no matter what happens with the dopes, I'm sorry, excuse me, forgive me, Lord, in Washington, D.C. Amen. No matter what happens in North Korea, my heart is fixed, oh God. I will sing and give praise, and forgive me, I really shouldn't have said dopes. These are people that need our prayer. I'm thankful for them. Most of them. Some of them. Okay, we'll go on. That goal, that dream, that vision, God has done something inside of you and me for a reason. Believe it. The Word of God is in you, and Jesus saved you and He redeemed you for a purpose. See it. Number two, speak it. Come on, say it with me. Speak it. Riff. Speak. Luke 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance, please read it with me, of the heart his mouth speaks. That last part of that verse out of the New American Standard, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. You see, images, the pictures, leads to your beliefs, and out of that heart system comes the words you and I speak. The message, your true being brims over into true words and deeds. The passion for the overflow of what has been stored in your heart will be seen by your fruit and will be heard by your words. What do you say to yourself when no one's there? Or what do you say to someone who doesn't know you? What comes out of your mouth is birthed and held in your heart. That's what the Bible shows us. Stop. Listen to what you just said. Stop. Listen to what you just thought. And repent. Because you have a gracious God who says, honey, don't go there. I've given you a different mind. I've given you a new beginning. I've given you a new day. Pastor Sherry proclaimed it so powerfully this morning. You walk by the Word of God, and you have victory by the Word of God, and you're free by the Word of God, and you're washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And we know about that from the Word of God. So we read the Bible. We stay in the Bible. We study the Bible. We see what He's done. He's given us a new mind. He's given us a new heart. Come on, church. You're brand new. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. There's authority and creative power in what you say. In the Old Testament, in Genesis 27, you have a section of Scripture where Isaiah blesses Jacob, only he thinks it's Esau. Remember? Remember the section? He spoke a blessing, a powerful release of blessing. And Esau comes in later, and the dad says, I'm sorry, kid, I haven't got anything left. Did you ever think along with me? Did you ever stop and think, well, geez, why couldn't dad have just said, well, phooey, I blew that. That was the wrong kid. Here's your word. Yeah. The dad spoke a prophetic creative blessing that released destiny in that son's life. Now, he had another word for his other son that he did come up with that did produce blessing in his life. But what I want you to see is the power of the blessing. My voice is changing. I'm sorry. The power of the release of that blessing. Do you understand the power that you have in your words and in your heart? The power of the blessing. Jacob prays for Joseph's sons, remember? And he's an old man and he's reaching out his sons to his hands and he gets his hands crossed. And remember Joseph said, no, Dad, that's not the one. And he goes, yeah, this is the way it's going to be. This is the way God's called it to be. And he speaks the word of God and the blessing. You are patriarchs and matriarchs in your families. You look at your children and you look at your grandchildren, whether you speak it directly to them or not, in your time of prayer, in your war room, in your closet, speak the word of God over those kids. Speak the word of God over your grandkids. Be the patriarch. Be the matriarch. Release the blessing of God on their lives. Release them from bondage. Release them from the demonic attack. And take authority by the word of God. You've got that power in the Lord. Someone say amen. And how about your own life? Release the power of God for your own life. When you speak God's word to others and to yourself, you are releasing His vision. Now, careful. I understand what it's like to have been ill and people close to me ill and dying. And I know what it's like to pray. And I'm not one of those who says you can never confess a need. I don't believe in that. But I do want to teach you something very simple. If you have a need in your life that's a physical need, do not own it as your own. My cancer, my problem, my this. Say, I'm having the symptoms, I've got this, I need prayer for this. But it's not what you own. It's an attack against you, or it's a problem that needs to be solved. But it's not my possession, and I belong to God. Can you receive that this morning? Watch what you say. We need to watch what we say. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Speak the word of God. You can say, instead of my being an angry man, you can say, I yield sometimes to anger, and I'm changing, and I'm repenting, and I'm becoming brand new. What do you confess? Speak into your situation and tell the darkness to flee. Speak the word of God. Number three, keep it. Number three, keep it. See it, speak it, keep it. Some of you in this room have promises from God that you've held onto all your life. Maybe something that dropped into your heart when you were a little boy or a little girl or a teenager. And you think, man, that's a long time ago now. Nothing's ever going to happen for me. Let the promises of God stay in your heart and keep believing Jesus to do what He's called to do. You know, you take a look at the power of what the Lord did. You know, John the Baptist had a 6-month ministry, or a short time ministry anyway. Some people, maybe you're not called to be the prophet of all the ages with a 50-year long ministry. Some are. But you can still accomplish what Jesus has put in your heart to do. Sometimes when we're reading the Word of God, you see the promise and you look like I look and you go, man, that speaks to me. Ever had that? Hopefully that's every day. You ever have that from the Word of God? That speaks to me. Don't let it go. Keep it. Hold on to it. Keep it. Reckon. In 2 Kings chapter 2, 1 through 15, if you recall the scripture, Elijah told Elisha, now if you keep your eyes on me, when I'm called to go to the Lord, you'll get your request for a double anointing. Remember, that was Elisha's prayer. Remember? And then everything broke loose in such a distracting way. There were chariots of fire. There were horses of fire. A whirlwind comes up, and everything possible happened in life to take Elisha's eyes off of the prophet. But he kept his eyes on the prophet. And when Elijah went to God, the mantle fell, and Elisha picked it up and walked in the double anointing. All I want to say, church, is sometimes we see the promise of God and we've called out to God, and sometimes life gets very distracting. Come on, is that true? Sometimes pains and problems and traumas, and sometimes our own mess ups, and sometimes things have happened in our lives and we go, oh boy. And God says, come on, get your eyes back on me. Get your eyes back on the Word. Get your eyes back on what the Holy Spirit can do, and I'll anoint you. Keep it. See it. Speak it. Keep it. How do you think Joseph felt? The vision that burned in his heart. Here he is, a teenage kid who gets this vision. Everybody's going to bow down to me. His biggest problem was telling everybody that. Do you know you're going to bow down to me? That's probably not his wisest moment. But through 13 years of horrific dealing, as he became a slave in Potiphar's house. Yes, he had favor, but he was still a slave and not free. And then he goes to jail, falsely accused, for 3 more years. 13 years, the Bible says in Psalm 105, verse 19, for 13 years, the word of the Lord tried him. But it also means it burned in his soul and kept him going. Number 4, share it. See it, speak it, keep it, share it. Proverbs 18:21, New King James, death and life. Death and what?
Life.
Death and life. That's powerful, guys. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Yes, Lord? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Out of the new living, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Matthew 12:33-35, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, a couple of versions here. New King James, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Out of the Message, watch the way you talk. I love that. It's kind of just where we all live, isn't it? Watch what you say. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth, say only that which helps, each word a gift. If we would consider the self-talk and the demon talk that wants to destroy you, tempt you, lead you down a road and tell you how awful you are, as dirty and foul, it might cause us to say, so I don't want anything to do with that. Amen?
Amen.
I want whatever so ever is true and pure and clean and the Word of God. That's what I want. I have a mind of Christ. That's what the Bible tells me. Proverbs 12, verse 18, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the, please hit with me, wise bring healing. Choose life or death. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Do you give away Jesus and his word? Do you speak his life into situations? Is it gossip, backbiting, complaint? No, no, no. There's power in what you say. What do you share? What do you speak? Proverbs 13:3 out of the Passion says, guard your words and you'll guard your life. But if you don't control your tongue, it'll ruin everything. How often have we been tempted to say to a child, you little monster? Instead, it should be, you know, you're one dynamo kid, but you got such a great future in the Lord. God's got his hands on you. He can use that energy. The Lord can bless you. He's got a creativity that he's put inside of you. Jesus loves you so much. And mommy and daddy or grandpa and grandma are going to be here to help keep you out of trouble and help guide you in the way. Jacob speaks the blessing of God over all 12 of his sons, and some of it very direct stuff before he dies. Prophecy, blessing, truth, reality. It's okay. Be the patriarch and matriarch of your family. Speak God's word. The word of God is true. I said it. The word of God is true. Turn to each other and say that, please. The word of God is true. Tell the self-talk that neutralizes the power and presence of God in your life to stop. To stop. It's over. The day of that gunk is done. Instead, quote what's true. I'm washed clean by the blood. I'm anointed by the Holy Spirit. I'm saved by grace and I belong to Him. Baptized in His Spirit, creatively empowered, kept alive by His Word. Free to walk with Him, and I'm free to share Him and free to be an ambassador for Him and give the good news. We call it the, what is it? Good news. Give the good news to yourself and away to others. Be free to to do whatever he's called you. Believe it. See it. Speak it. Keep it. Share it. Release the blessing. Come on, release the blessing. Now, if this is spoken at all to your heart, I believe some of you need a real freedom from this. And I believe that you can do right along with me, and I'm going to have us all do it. And that is, stand with me, please. It's time to stand. This is not casual. I want you to stand for your victory. If you want to close your eyes, don't fall over. You're welcome to close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to do something right now, and I don't care if it feels silly. I'm going to ask you to do a very powerful thing. Lay hands on your own head. Come on. The Bible talks about impartation. We're talking about releasing the blessing. And we have the anointing of Jesus to release the blessing even in our own life and in the lives of others. And we're going to begin right now by laying hands on our own head. And I want you to pray after me. Lord Jesus, I believe I have the mind of Christ. You've put it in me, Lord. I'm clean by the blood of Jesus. I have no shame. I'm yours. And my mind is yours. My thoughts are yours. I lead into captivity every wrong thought, and I rebuke it now. Every demonic thought, I rebuke. And I'm free in Jesus' name. I stop the wrong self-talk. Get out and shut up in Jesus' name. I have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Just thank Him right where you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We've rebuked the demons this morning. Thank you that we're clean and we're free. And we rejoice in your spirit, O God. Thank you that you have given us a new day, a new beginning. And that thank you, Lord God, we are your friends. So musicians, will you come up and we're going to close with I am a friend of God. Now, if the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, and I hope he has, I hope that you leave this place absolutely free from the wrong kind of self-talk and that you enjoy walking freely in the Lord. If you're baptized in the Spirit and speaking in tongues, I encourage you to jump in a fresh way. If you haven't received that yet, then come for prayer and be released even further in the Spirit of the Lord, because God's given us all sorts of gifts to help us walk freely in Him.